Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
Now, the continued existence of a non-jury court in this jurisdiction crops up every now and then as a matter of public and political debate, most recently when Sinn Féin dropped its long-held opposition to the Special Criminal Court at its 2021 Ardèche. On Wednesday, the Irish Council for Civil Liberties will hold a conference looking at how other countries deal with alleged terrorist and gangland offenders. One of the speakers at that conference will be internationally renowned criminal defence lawyer Nancy Hollander, who joins us now on the line. And you're very welcome, Nancy, to the programme this evening. I know you've had a long list of high-profile defendants on your books over the years, including the former Real IRA leader Michael McKevitt. So what case do you make then for the abolition of the Special Criminal Court?
Well, the Special Criminal Court was created as an emergency court. An emergency court should end when the emergency ends. What's happened and frequently happens is they continue, and now the Special Criminal Court is morphing into more than national security cases, into gangs, into drug cases, and it's fundamentally a violation of the Irish Constitution, as I understand it, because there's no jury, and not having a jury is, juries are fundamental to the adversarial system of justice, which Ireland and the U.S. share. So if we don't have juries, that's the first problem. There are other problems with it in which I could go into if you wish.
Well, please do. I'd be interested in hearing your objections to it.
Well, there's also the prosecutor, the public prosecutor can decide that somebody is to be tried in the Special Criminal Court and doesn't have to give any reasons. There's no way to appeal that, as I understand it. And that's a fundamental problem. Another problem is that there's too much of what you call privileged evidence, we would call classified evidence, where there's information that the defendant and the defense don't get to see, and that makes it almost impossible to have a fair trial. So all of this interferes with the right to a fair trial. Defendant is presumed to be innocent until proven guilty. The minute an accused is sent to the Special Criminal Court, I believe it's already setting up a presumption of guilt, and that's the way the judges look at it. And there's no jury in there to independently look at the facts.
Okay, well, I'm sure the judges who sit in the Central Criminal Court wouldn't see it like that. The reasons they would see, or the DPP would see, a reason for sending a defendant to the Special Criminal Court is not because of a presumption of guilt, but because of fears around witnesses, for example, intimidation of witnesses, or indeed violence against witnesses in the case. That's one of the principal reasons.
Well, that's what they say, but they don't have to show anything. The prosecutor simply sends the person to the Special Criminal Court. What are the intimidation concerns? What reason is there to think that there'll be intimidation of witnesses just because the prosecutor believes it? Another big problem with the Special Criminal Court is the fact that someone can be convicted on the belief of a police officer that person's a member of a prohibited organization, the belief or opinion of a police officer. This is an incredible violation of a fair trial when someone can go to jail based on what some police officer says.
I know that there has been some research published here. It was in March 2020, which does suggest that intimidation of members of juries does happen in certain cases. Now, the researchers conducted anonymous interviews with 22 judges and 11 barristers in that instance. It is noted now that none of the judges questioned about jury intimidation said they'd personally witnessed it, but they did report, several reported hearing it from colleagues, and three of the 11 barristers reported encountering the issue. So it was happening.
I'm sure it happens in some cases, but before someone can go to some court, which I don't think should exist at all, there needs to be some proof of that in that particular case. You know, every individual is got to be treated individually in a court system and in a criminal justice system. You can't say that because there are statistics that some jurors have been intimidated or some witnesses have been intimidated, the prosecutor can't rely on that and say, well, maybe this person will intimidate a witness. That's not how a criminal justice system should work.
OK, so, you know, of course, that the very specific history on this island and the reasons for the creation of the non-jury court here initially, and that was the emergency under which it was initially established. But now are you saying that the people should be, or the DPP or police should be waiting for witnesses to be intimidated before a decision is made to bring a defendant to the Special Criminal Court, rather than making that decision in advance based on the defendant and the type of crime the defendant is accused of being involved in?
No, of course I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that the Special Criminal Court should be abolished, number one. All cases should be in front of juries. Number two, if there's really serious evidence of intimidation, then witnesses can be protected, jurors can be protected. But there has to be some evidence. Just because someone is charged with a national security violation or with gang violation or drugs or fraud or whatever the prosecutor feels like, that doesn't mean that that person is going to intimidate a witness. There's got to be some reason for that person, not people in general.
Mm. But it does sound to me then, when you're saying there needs to be evidence of witness intimidation, it does sound to me that you're saying that you have to wait for the witnesses to be intimidated before making the decision to bring something to a Special Criminal Court.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Okay, I'm just trying to get clarity. So when you say there needs to be evidence of witness intimidation, what do you mean by that? What's the threshold at which it's acceptable? How do you establish that?
Well, it's not that you establish that. It's that you establish the prosecutor has to establish some reason to believe there will be witness intimidation or jury intimidation.
Okay.
But you can't simply say there might be, and most terrorists do this, so this one won't get a jury trial. But let's go back. The Special Criminal Court was enacted during a time of emergency. The emergency's gone. It needs to go. We need to have ordinary courts trying people. Then if a prosecutor thinks there's an issue, those jurors or witnesses can be protected.
Hmm. Now,
we won't have convictions based on the opinion of a police officer that someone told him that someone else told him that this person was a member of a prohibited organization. We have to get rid of that. We have to get rid of these inferences that go with that court.
All right. Well, we might go back to some of the cases that you've fought and the campaigns you've been involved in then, because Guantanamo Bay was set up in an emergency and is still in place 20 years on from its establishment. And I know that you visited Guantanamo Bay many times. You also represented one of the men who was implicated in the September 11th attacks who was held there. Are you surprised that it's still in existence 20 years on?
I am disheartened that it's still in existence. It never should have been created. President Bush and the people around him thought that they could put people in Guantanamo, that none of the international treaties against torture, Geneva, would matter, that they would never have lawyers, that they could do what they pleased. That was fundamentally a violation of everything that the United States justice system stands for. It should never have existed in the first place. And it certainly shouldn't exist now. There are 39 men there. 13 of them, I believe, have been cleared for release. Some of them cleared 10 years ago. And you know, why aren't they home? Why aren't the other people home who have never been charged with any crime? And you can't hold them for 20 years and say, well, maybe they're going to commit a crime in the future. That's ridiculous. If there's a crime, then charge them with the crime. If there isn't, and after 20 years, you haven't been able to find anything to charge them with, they have to go home. And the ones who've been charged, who still haven't been to trial, including my client, Ibrahim al-Nasri, those cases need to be resolved in a way that's fair to the defendants and provides a fair hearing, due process, and then we need to close it. But it needs to happen now.
All right. Well, really interesting perspective. And thank you very much for joining us, Nancy. And I know, as I mentioned, you'll be speaking at that conference organised by the Irish Council for Civil Liberties. That'll be open to the public. It's entitled Guilty Until Proven Innocent. And it's free to register. If you want to hear more of what Nancy or others have to say, you can do so at Eventbrite. Nancy Hollander, thank you very much.